Hi, it's me again, back with some new material as promised. When I made the original videotape 4 years ago, I wasn't trying to start a revolution, but rather to simply share a valuable trick I had learned at the urging of all those who kept asking me how I did it. Now, almost half a decade later, I found the technique safe, effective, and found myself something of a celebrity because of it. You know, I always thought that if I ever came to the attention of the public eye, it would be because of what I had to say, not by demonstrating how to say it. Still, it's been gratifying to hear from so many people who have written or called to tell me how well the concepts have worked for them. There have been others, though, who've had a little harder time trying to find that special place from which they can develop a new voice. So, again at the urging of all those who've asked for a little more help, I've gone back over the technique and tried to bring a few new perspectives to the process that may make it even more accessible. As we've already seen, it's not so much a matter of pitch as one of resonance. The trick is that the male voice box is about twice as large in size as the average female voice box, so deeper harmonics are created around the same pitch. That's why if a woman and a man sing the same note, it sounds different. The pitch is the same, but women don't have the low harmonics. When you speak in falsetto, you tighten all the muscles around your voice box, killing all the harmonics. When you speak normally, you relax them all and get all the harmonics, even the low ones. But the muscles that tighten on the voice box are not one set, but can be trained to tighten at the top and stay loose at the bottom. When this is done, the muscles clamp down on half of the voice box, effectively cutting the resonance chamber to half size and deadening the low-end harmonics. This produces an authentic female resonance at any pitch. The hard part is training yourself to clamp down on only one set while keeping the other loose, since all your experience either clamps both or neither. It's a bit like trying to pat your head while you rub your stomach at the same time, or perhaps more like learning to walk again after an accident. The brain doesn't know how to do this thing and must stumble around it for some time before the neural pathways open up and the way to control those muscles clicks at a subconscious level. This can take a lot of time. Those who do cartoon character voices or impressions for fun, or have done vocal exercises singing higher harmonies, will have an easier time finding the feel of what the body has to do. You can gauge if you're doing it right by touching the top of your Adam's apple with one hand and the bottom with the other as you speak. Speaking normally, both will vibrate. Speaking in falsetto, neither will vibrate. If you can get the bottom to vibrate while the top does not, you'll have the voice. Now, I don't know if it's possible to get the top to vibrate while the bottom doesn't, but I suspect the sound wouldn't be as pleasing as if the portion that vibrates is closer to the chest cavity, which produces a richer acoustic sound. Words of warning are that these kinds of vocal exercises can easily strain your voice, especially at first. Don't practice any longer than a minute or two to start. Work your way up slowly to longer periods of time, but never even approach the point at which your voice might get hoarse. It would be a shame to permanently damage your voice when a little patience could reward you with the voice you've always wanted. Everyone has the capacity to find this new voice. When the voice breaks at puberty, it's a sign that the voice is not just lowering as the voice box gets bigger. If that were the case, the resonance would get deeper smoothly. Rather, the muscle use around the voice box changes to take advantage of the larger voice box. Until the muscles learn to relax at both the top and the bottom, the voice jumps back and forth between the fully tightened voice and the half-tight, half-relaxed voice you're now trying to relearn. The capability is still there, and the brain can be taught to remember, but it happened so long ago that it currently has forgotten. As a visual aid, imagine the voice of a child as having the shape of a capital letter I, representing the range of pitch in a voice, with the high notes toward the top and the low notes toward the bottom. As a female child grows into a woman, the I gets longer at the bottom, indicating that in addition to the high notes, even lower ones have now been added to the vocal range. In contrast, when a male child grows up, it's not just pitch that lowers, but in addition, new low-end harmonics are added. In our visualization, this would appear as if the letter I grew an extra arm and became an upside-down letter Y. At the high end, the voices between male and female are almost identical. But as the male voice matures, it jumps back and forth over the hump of the upside-down Y from one side to the other as that extra arm of low harmonics grows deeper. This is what we hear when the voice breaks at puberty. Eventually, the male voice settles into the new arm of the Y and no longer falls into the old arm at all. So it still shares the high ground, but is now quite different in normal speaking range. The good news is that the old arm of the original I, in which grown women still speak, is still there. It's just rusty and lost due to years of neglect. The trick, then, is to help the brain find the old arm of the Y again, and to exercise those forgotten muscle pathways until that voice is once more accessible. For those of you who want to switch back and forth, a little practice now and again in the female voice will keep the gears oiled. For those who want to use the new voice all the time, the male resonant side of the upside-down Y will eventually be forgotten by the brain, just as the female side was once lost. Under those circumstances, you wake up with a new voice, and use it even when startled. In fact, it would take a long period of time to retrain the old voice to come back again, the reverse problem. Well, that's it in a nutshell, the path to a female voice. But even a female voice is not necessarily feminine. To sound like a woman requires the proper resonance, but to sound like a lady requires training in enunciation, grammar, vocabulary, use of pitch, dynamic range, and even body English to complement vocal patterns. As you've already heard, each of these other areas has been fully covered earlier in the presentation. By working to develop a female resonance and then enhancing it with the other six aspects of feminine speaking, nearly everyone should be able to find just the voice they're looking for. Of course, voice isn't the only concern to those in the gender community. As some of you may know, I founded the Transgender Community Forum on America Online back in 1991. In addition, I publish and edit an electronic newsletter for the community called The Subversive, which has received wide circulation on the internet. With the advent of the World Wide Web, I've moved my act into that new realm and have established a major gender support site which is accessible from my homepage at www.well.com/user/Melanie. There you'll find scores of articles and a wealth of useful information for everyone who has an interest in gender issues. In addition, you can explore some of my non-gender related efforts, such as the Dramatica software for writers, the mental relativity theory of psychology, and a number of songs, poems, and fictional pieces as well. As an artist, my website is the best way I've found to express who I am and how I feel. I hope that this presentation on voice technique and the support materials I've placed on the web will help you do the same. As you take your journey, I wish you the very best for all you hope to do and be, and urge you to always remember that dreams are the stuff reality is made of.